listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 145. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who has a major glare in his glasses, John Brownstone.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
You didn't go anywhere.
Oh, that's right.
You're not allowed to leave. Nobody lets you leave. Not without me. This week, we're talking about crying as a positive emotional reaction in BDSM scenes and other kinky fuckery. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes, and if you are watching on YouTube, because you can, the link to the show notes is in the description.
There you go.
This week's episode is sponsored by the Ersties Podcast. It's a podcast based in Berlin, Germany, with a panel of hosts who work in the sex industry in multiple different ways. Some are performers, some are pornographers, some are people who are just in it.
A lot of different capacities.
Yes. And their show talks about topics that kind of vary, but they're basically about sex, dating, the sex industry, and kind of anything that pops up in conversation. And when I listen to one of their more recent episodes, if you are listening and or watching this right now and you love the fact that it's conversational, you're probably going to like Ersties, because that is absolutely their style. When all four of them are there, it's all four of them talking about a topic. Okay. So you get all these different perspectives. New shows drop on the first Friday of every month, and I think they've got like 8 out right now. Maybe by the time you guys listen to this, it'll be up to 9. But so you've got time to go to catch up too, if it's a new podcast to you. Past show topics include porn, camming, that's cam modeling and the sex work that some people do on webcam, sex parties. I think that was one of the most recent episodes I heard, and then much more than that. You can check them out at www.ersties-podcast.com. You can find them wherever you listen to podcasts, including SoundCloud and any of your podcast apps, by searching the Ersties Podcast. And if you want to follow them on social, they're on Twitter at Ersties Podcast. And do not worry if you're like, what? All of the links to all of this will be in the show notes. But if you just search Ersties, E-R-S-T-I-E-S, Ersties Podcast, you're going to find them. They're pretty much everywhere. I've decided there will be no announcements this week. I will give everybody, including myself, a break.
Are you feeling okay?
Well, the giveaway's over the sale. You must have my hair, man. I actually did my hair. and we all know I can't look in the camera. Oh, thank you for pulling it. It's been a while. It's been a long while. No, we did so many announcements in the month of August everything that was going on. I'm just like, I just don't feel like it today. I'll do it next week. I'll do something next week.
Okay.
So we're going to get right into the topic. And this one, I know, who knew it could happen in the first 5 minutes. this topic was actually requested on Twitter by Chintz Curtain. So shout out there. Thank you for this. What they asked us to discuss was specific to a dominance perspective about the so-called good tears that can happen in a scene or for a therapy spanking or any of the things that might cause an emotional reaction, and that reaction being tears.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, they asked about your perspective as a dominant of being the cause of those tears.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely a really good aspect to get into. I would love to know your perspective on that. But it is, there's more to say than that. Yeah. So we did do a blog post this week about different emotional reactions, because crying is just one. It might be maybe the most well-known. I don't want to say common, because is it common? I don't know. But it is the most well-known. You know, people talk about being spanked until they cry, or getting, you know, some people cry when they have a really big orgasm. It's just this release for them, and that's one of the things that gets released. So crying is probably the most well known, but there are other ways to react. And so the blog post that's linked in the show notes discusses that. The mystery one to me that I've had many times is defiance. I get very, and when I say defiant, it's all in my head because I know I'm dealing with a sadist. And if you don't know what it's like to deal with a sadist, basically don't poke the bear is what that's
bad
like.
Idea.
Don't do it. So my defiance is all in my head. My defiance is I can fucking take this. You give it your best fucking shot. And I will not say yellow even when I really should. I won't say red until it is the most unbearable thing I've ever felt, and I feel like I'm gonna die. But thankfully, John Brownstone does not let me get to that point.
Stubborn ass masochist.
Yes, exactly. That time, not smart ass, just stubborn ass.
Stubborn ass.
So part of this conversation I want to start out with is if you don't cry, or you've never cried, or it's never even occurred to you that you could cry at the end of some kinky fuckery or a BDSM scene or whatever, that's okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Everybody does.
This isn't an effort to make it sound like everybody does. One of the things in my notes is sometimes you want to and you can't. Ask me how I know, because that's what always happens to me. I'm like, spank me till I cry. Okay. And then I can't cry. Can't. Not happening. It's
nope.
I might feel better, but there are no tears.
No.
So I guess probably the first part of this is, and we are only experts on us, and we are still figuring ourselves out. So I don't know if we can even call ourselves experts
day
on
by
us.
Day.
But the first probably question that I think some people, especially if they're not expecting it and it happens, is kind of where those tears come from.
Yeah.
And I would say from my experience, it depends. It's situational. Like when I was really at the height of all my anxiety, as I was dealing with over the past couple years, it got really bad for me in 2016, and I've thankfully, knock on wood, leveled out in the past couple of months. So it's been a 2-year run of this. Sometimes the tears came as a result of just all of that tension that was in my body, because I was so worried and panicked and fearful, was just that there was no way I could no longer physically hold on to it. And the reaction was tears. But I have cried after an orgasm before. It's been such a massive emotional release that I've just sobbed. So that I wouldn't say had anything to do with anxiety. Sometimes it's because it feels so good. It's just the reaction. I mean, am I the only partner you've ever had that cried on you? Have other people cried?
No, you're the only one.
I'm the only one. Of course, I'm the only one in general. Let's just, you know, remember that. Okay. There is no other like me. If you've heard our episode on poly and DS, you know that I don't really feel that way. How does it make you feel when I cry?
At first, it was kind of like, whoa, what's going on
here?
What
the fuck here?
What's happening? But as I realized that it was a release for you, because we came up with the code word, you know, daddy, my skin's too tight.
Yeah, that's my code for needing a therapy spanking.
Okay. You know, once worked through that and understood where the tears were coming from, when you needed a spanking like that and you got to cry, I knew that was then a release for you.
I was always much more relaxed after that.
After that, you were always more relaxed. You were calmer. You know, prior you were wound tight as a spring. Okay,
that's my constant state.
No. No, this no.
This was
much,
different. This
much,
was different.
Much worse. Much,
this was
much worse.
Different.
So I know that, you know, the tears were actually a release, and it made me, for my part, knowing what the tears do for you, it made me feel happy.
Aww.
In a sense that I could help you.
Kind of like you'd accomplish something.
That I was able to help you find that release.
Was it a dominant kind of happy, or just a partner, you care about me, you love me, and you want me to feel better kind of happy?
A combination of both.
Okay.
Definitely a combination of
both. Yeah, because when I say dominant happy, and not every dominant, right? But there is that, like,
that
smug,
sadistic happy.
That smug satisfaction, exactly, of
like
look what I did.
Kind of like leaving bruises on.
Oh, God, I love bruises. That's a whole other conversation.
That's something else. But in a sense, it's kind of the same.
In a way.
Same type of feeling, you know, to a certain extent.
That you managed to do that.
Yeah.
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 So, I think with you, I don't know if you remember it, I think I've cried after an orgasm too.
I don't know if I remember that.
Oh yeah. I've done it, I think, 2 or 3 times in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I was 18 or 19 and that poor boy at the time, he was like, why are you crying? I don't know. And I didn't know. But I have done it. It's been a few years, but I remember doing it. And that is a different kind of crying from like a hard spanking. I mentioned therapy spanking before. We do have an episode on spankings if you're curious about it, but mm-hmm. just for quick clarification, if nobody's listen to that episode yet. Therapy spanking is a term that means the spanking is not specifically for the pain aspect in the masochistic way. Like I'm getting off on the pain.
It's not like a punishment.
It's not a punishment. It's not punishment. It's literally a utilitarian right. kind of spanking.
Some people may call it a maintenance spanking.
Some people do call it a maintenance. But basically, and people look at maintenance spankings differently.
Well,
so yeah. Some people look at a maintenance spanking as I want to spank your ass so you remember who's in charge.
Right.
No.
Your place.
A therapy spanking is specifically the impact play of hit me until I can have an emotional reaction and feel better because I am too tense or I'm too worried or I'm too something, and this spanking will make me feel better. And hopefully, for most of the people I've talked to, but clearly not everybody, most of the people want a big emotional reaction. It's mm-hmm. the way to force that release. So that's what we mean when we say therapy spanking, but a good hard fuck will do it sometimes too. And not even usually for, again, that was, I think, probably one of the few times I've cried after orgasm, but that was a different kind of release. So a therapy mm-hmm. spanking for me means my skin is too tight. I'm very tense. I'm scared. I'm anxious. I'm pick a thing, anything. And nothing else I'm doing is working. And so therefore, could you give me this pain that I'm asking for, I'm consenting to? I need it to be big pain. I don't need you to finger me or
need it to be very intense.
Right. I don't need an orgasm from it. I'm not looking for that. The whole purpose is give me the physical sensation until it overwhelms my senses.
Right.
So then I can have the release. Gotcha. And that's what I personally am looking for. With people I talk to, that seems to be the trend. You know, I think anybody can look for anything that they want and can have a different meaning and a different way of saying it. But I think ultimately whatever you're asking for. So some people might ask for spankings and some people might ask for forced orgasms. And so the whole point is to do this thing that you enjoy. So there has to be some level of wanting to do it because it's not something you're shying away from, right? But you want it to the point that it is so intense that your mind doesn't stay in control anymore. Like, I can sit through a spanking and make a grocery list at the same time. I try not to do it. For the record, I try not to do it. But my mind works that way. We can be having great sex, and I am
scary up
there. It is scary up there. And I can be, like, writing the blog post that's about to go with it. Mindfulness is not something I'm good at. It is something that I work on, but I would be an F student. If we were giving out grades, I would get an F for mindfulness. And so when I'm going to cry or have any big emotional reaction at the end of the scene, the spanking, forced orgasms, rough sex, whatever, it's, for me at least, going to be because everything else got tuned out. Like, there was nothing I could do but ride that wave of that moment, whether it's sensation or it's something else. You know, for me, usually it's pain, quite frankly. That's what does it for me. But it is, that has to block everything else out. And as long as little errant thoughts can get through, I'm not crying. It's not happening. Not at all. Because I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not taken out of my head.
So for you, it's completely about emptying your mind.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So take out that factor just from stimulus from the spanking or flogging or whatever the case may be, right. You would not cry. You have never cried from just...
No. No. I mean, because... So I've cried. I've cried in earnest after a couple of orgasms in my life. Mm-hmm. I've cried after a few spankings.
Right.
We've never played with forced orgasms to the point that I could cry after them. I could cry during. It's called whining. No, daddy, please stop.
Whole different thing.
And it has always been a sensory overload thing because at that moment, and it, so here's what's funny. And spoiler alert, if you don't follow us on Twitter, in my mind, this relates a little bit to subspace. Not a lot, just a little bit. And here in subspace, the spoiler alert is next week. We're going to talk about subspace because somehow we've gotten through 145 episodes and we've never fucking talked about it as its own episode. I don't know. We have three episodes about drop. So I don't know what we were doing. But so when I'm in a good place, when we do a scene, and when I say good place, I mean like I'm really relaxed. I'm really into the moment. I can't, my mind can get shut down. I have a better chance of hitting subspace. When I'm in a bad place, and when I say bad place, I mean that for me, anxiety. For other people, it might be something different, but for me, it's always my anxiety.
Right.
When I'm in that place and I can get my mind to shut down, I can cry. I would say two very different emotional reactions, but still part of maybe two sides of the same coin. For me, the whole purpose is I have everything, the mind has to be shut down. I cannot be making a to-do list. I cannot be thinking, oh, that was a little harder than the last one. Like I can't have those thoughts. And it is so rare that my mind can go quiet like that. And I know that that's not uncommon. I know a lot of people are like, my mind never shuts down. It's why I can't sleep. It's why I can't focus. It's why, you know, or why I have a million ideas or whatever your thing is. A lot of us out there have that and we can't shut down our minds. So that's what I've noticed about tears. When I'm like, please make me cry. I really want to cry. No, if I can't let go enough to empty my mind, it's not going to happen.
It won't happen at all.
There's even the tears, and I have not experience this because we don't play quite like this, but I know other people do, where they actually want to cry in a scene, whether it's a humiliation scene,
right,
or it's just a really painful scene. They want to cry for that, not because of an emotional release, like get rid of the tension or make me feel better, but because that's a thing that they want.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by that because I think the same exact principle for me would have to apply. You'd have to take me out of myself. Like, my conscious mind couldn't be analyzing the situation and looking around and going, oh, it's a little chilly. Oh, wow, did he waver right there? Oh, what's taking him so long to come back with, you know? Like, I can't be thinking those things.
Well, it could be viewed as very similar circumstances.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay. You know, someone who likes humiliation, it could be the same thing. You know, as a dominant, humiliating a submissive... It can get very powerful.
Oh, absolutely. We only play with it a little bit.
We play with it a little bit, not to some extent that I know others do. So, you know, an emotional spanking can be just as
powerful as a physical
spanking.
Absolutely. And I know that there are dominants who want to do this, and then there are submissives who want to have this done. So hopefully y'all can all meet because this will work for you, hopefully. but what they want is for the submissive to be broken down so they can be built back up. Now, there is a huge and inherent danger there, and that is not something to be taken lightly, and that is not something to just do because you think that's what dominants do. Talking to my subby friends out there, I would please be very careful before you go around telling a dominant that's what you want. Make sure you know that's what you want, because humiliation play is, for those of us who enjoy it, it's satisfying. I can't say it's fun to be ask to be called names is not what I would, you know, it's not like on my bucket list of shit to do. but it is satisfying. Like, it's a turn on, so that feels good.
Yeah.
It feels...
In a particular moment.
In a particular moment. Right, we're talking about BDSM scenes and your kinky fuckery. Right. It feels taboo to have somebody say something or do something or have you do something that would not be okay in mm-hmm. other circumstances. It's a little bit of that dirty kind of, you know, it's not a great word to use for kink because there's nothing dirty about it. But mm-hmm. I think we kind of get the gist of what that feeling is.
The little bit of the taboo.
That taboo okay. feeling that I just said.
When we're in a scene or something and I call you a cock whore.
Woo! Yes. And right? I am yours. And
yes, you are.
Yes, give me that cock. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
But it goes into context. It's not like I go around every minute of the day just randomly calling you a cock whore.
No, that would not work.
Right.
Mostly because I'd be like, what are you doing? Excuse me? I'm over here typing. What the fuck?
Cock whore.
Are you okay over there?
Cock whore.
But that's the thing. You know, it's okay to want that kind of play. It's yeah. okay to want the, maybe you do want an emotional release from humiliation play, but it can unintentionally go too far. It can be taken too far very easily.
Humiliation play can be taken too far. And, you know, the whole thing with breaking down a sub to build them back up, you know, yes, you have to be so, so careful because when you're, as a dominant, and I know I've said this before way, way back at some point, and I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating. When you go digging around in somebody's mind like that, be wary of where you step because you never know what you are going to uncover.
And even, you know, submissives who are asking for this, and you know your own mind, I'm going to treat you like you're an intelligent being. You've mm-hmm. researched it, you've, you know, checked it out, you've talked to your partner. Please, please, please let all of those things be true.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're going to step on in there,
well,
okay?
Exactly. I have heard stories of submissives who wanted that. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of it, you know, boom, something triggers.
Something bad.
Something bad.
Yeah.
And it's something that even the submissive had buried.
Yeah.
All right.
So a lot of things we're not consciously thinking
of. That they, you know, because of the nature of it, they kind of buried it away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of a sudden, pow, there it is out in the light of day.
Exactly. And then you have to deal with that.
Right.
And maybe you're not even prepared to deal with that, either of you.
Right. I mean, that, you know, I've coined it, you know, triggers are triggers. But when you step on one like that, I've kind of coined it a landmine.
Yes.
You know, because that's what it is. You know,
says the guy who hit one of my landmines the other day.
Exactly.
Not even in play. Oh, we weren't playing, but he hit a landmine. So if you're going to chase the emotional release, okay? Because mm-hmm. I think that's where that comes from. You've seen that it can happen, maybe. You've heard that it can happen. Maybe it happened to you once and you weren't trying for it. And you're like, oh, I needed that. Be very careful when you try to chase the emotional release. So ours is maybe by other people's standards kind of tame, like spank my ass, make me cry, right? Even when I'm asking for it, even when it's what I really want, or I think it's what I really want, I'm in that moment going, yeah, that'll do it. One, it won't always happen. Let's start there. It will not always happen.
Mm-hmm.
But two, what he might have to do to get me to cry might be more than I can handle.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times when I have felt right on the precipice. Like I was so close to crying. I was mm-hmm. totally going to cry. It was going to happen. And then in order, like I have noticed, and you tell me if I'm wrong, when it's a therapy spanking, all spankings start out light and you build up.
Right.
But in a therapy spanking, because you know the point is to try and make me cry, mm-hmm. the buildup is fast and it's furious and it's hard.
Yes.
And so what can happen from one moment to the next, depending on where my mind is, we can go from harder, harder, I'm almost there. If it's just the right thing, the very next time I'm totally going to cry. And that very next thing is, oh, too fucking hard. Oh, red, mm-hmm. red, stop, stop, stop. And because I didn't quite get there and he went a little too far because it's all an experiment. We're just playing. You know, we don't honestly know what's going to happen until we're in the middle of it. I can be thrown out of that. And so hopefully the spanking by itself or the whatever kinky fuckery by itself is enough to relax me temporarily so I can get my bearings again. I can think straight again. I can kind of reassess how I feel. You know, just something that feels good and is relaxing is sometimes enough. But even in that, even in something that we do all the time, he can act without even realizing it, go from this would be perfect with like this much difference, but he gives me this much difference.
Even with the...
Sorry, podcast listeners, a little bit of difference versus a lot of difference. Sorry, I forgot. Visual.
Hanging around me too much. Right? I know. But the similarity actually is that, you know, just like with triggering a emotional landmine, the same thing can happen with a spanking. All it takes is one mislaid hand.
Sure. Just okay. Feet on the wrong part of the body.
In the wrong part of the body. And, you know, that shatters everything. So, you know, even with that, you have to be careful with what you're doing. You know, you can't go willy-nilly. Yes, the therapy spankings are different. When we're doing a scene, I want you to last as long as you can.
And I like that about you.
All right. So, you know, there is that. So, yes, there is a slow buildup there. You know, I'll be using a light flogger at first. I'll change it over to something else and then go back to light and then go a little heavier. You know, with the therapy spanking, it's kind of out of the gate, you are working towards a particular goal, you know, to get you to cry, to get you that release. So, yes, it is a little bit more intense and straightforward.
Yes, absolutely. And in most cases, it's much shorter. Yes. That's not going to be true for everybody. And that's not even true necessarily every time. Mm-hmm. But it, because there is a very specific goal, we're going from point A to point B. What do we have to do in the middle to get there?
Right.
And, you know, it is easy to miss time. It's easy to think, oh, this is the right level of intensity. The same is true in any other kind of play that you get an emotional release from. So let's go back to humiliation play. If treating you in one way, calling you certain names or, you know, forcing you into certain positions or making you do certain activities is usually enough to kind of get you going and feels okay and you're not hitting hard limits. And then your dominant is like, oh, that's right. They want to really feel this so that they break down. Let me take it up a notch. And they unintentionally take it up too far of a notch. You're dealing with a whole other mess at that point. And you're likely not crying and you might be not completely out of the scene, completely out of the moment because it was, so it's not a science. It's not an exact science. And what worked for you on one day will not likely work the next time.
Well, because just like anything else, you know, talk about anytime you get ready to do a scene, you want to know the emotional and physical well-being of your partner.
Sure.
That's going to affect a lot of things. One, how they react to the pain.
Or whatever sensation.
Or whatever sensation. You know, if somebody's in a bad headspace and they're having a moment, say, a moment of low self-esteem, you know, you might not want to dive into some down and dirty humiliation.
It'll at the very least, it's going to change what you do. So if most of your humiliation play is verbal, well, you might not want to do that. You might want to do something physical. But there's also this idea, and I mentioned it a little bit ago, you cannot chase this. Okay. It's going to happen or it's not.
Right.
And sometimes the stars literally have to align for all of this to work. Like I can tell myself, this is exactly how I felt the last time I got a spanking that made me cry. Let me go request the spanking to make me cry. And then I get what he might even consider an identical spanking. Nothing. Feels good. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Happy. You know, I'm a little bit more relaxed. The tension in my body maybe is a little bit released. But I didn't have that emotional response that I was looking for. What went wrong? And it is very easy for that to be the question you ask yourself. What went wrong? Why didn't this work? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? What's...
The planets aren't aligned.
Right. And it, It can be the smallest thing. It can, and it's, I would say, often things you can't control, you don't know are happening. You know, let scientists study that and tell us better. But it's all of the things having to line up. And there's also that idea that just because this specific activity worked last time doesn't mean that specific activity will work the next time. So you might have to just be flexible and say, look, you don't have to do A through Z the steps you did last time, but this is the kind of thing I need, and let's mm-hmm. see where it goes. Right. And some people have more or less stamina for those things. So some people can hit a scene hard and stay in it, and they can just do it, right? Whether that's risky or not, dangerous or not, advised or not, that's going to depend on what you're doing and who you are.
Yeah.
But some people can stay with it longer until they get there. I mean, we have watched at the club where a dude took a, he wasn't even trying to cry. He was just taking it because he loved it. He took a fucking pounding for an amount of time that don't hit me that long.
Oh, yes.
Or with that amount of force, he could do it, right? Other people, their threshold's different. And their threshold is different depending on the day.
That was the time they were the two playing.
Oh, that's
and
no.
They were kind of going back and forth.
Oh, that, no, I wasn't thinking of that one, but that is another one too. Yeah. So we've seen it multiple times. I was thinking of the time in the one club where the baby girl, they were both switches.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
so
yes,
when
yes,
she
yes.
was subbing, she was a baby girl, but when she was not subbing,
she was in charge.
Vicious and fierce, and he loved it. And so that's all that mattered.
Okay. Yes. And I remember that.
She came at him like she was a baseball player.
Oh,
it was,
my God. Yeah.
I mean, you could hear the thwacks across the freaking mm-hmm. room, and he loved it. He loved every freaking minute of it.
And what's funny is that she was like that, mm-hmm. but when you talk to her outside of that,
oh yeah,
she was the sweetest, most nicest person baby girl. You ever want to sit down and talk to.
She was a sweetheart. It was hilarious.
But in that moment,
it.
You were like, "What the?
I'm not fuck? Making her
I'm not
mad
messing with her.
Nope, she'll take your ass out. Okay, with that paddle." But, it's funny. We know that. We know everybody has different stamina. We know everybody mm-hmm. has a different threshold of what they can handle. We all know that everybody has different limits. And yet, when we start looking for something like an emotional release, like crying to feel better or like whatever you're looking for, we start comparing ourselves to each other. Mm. Well, my friend over here could cry, and they did this thing. So I'm going to try that thing they did,
mm-hmm.
and why aren't I crying? Well, you're not crying because maybe that's not the thing for you.
Well, that's like saying my friend over there squirted, but I didn't.
Oh, gosh, yes. Okay. If we could all just stop comparing.
Yeah.
We could just all stop comparing. So that goes back to the whole premise of just crying in general, or having any big emotional release. Like in the blog post I wrote, I talked about laughter. Some people laugh. That's how some people are wired. They will just laugh mm-hmm. when that happens for them. And they might walk away with the exact emotional release and feeling no pain or no non-consensual pain, less anxious, less depressed, less mm-hmm. whatever their thing is. And they laughed. So there is no one size fits all. There's no one size fits all for people. And there's no one size fits all for you. So if it's not happening for you and you want it to be, this is like everything else in life, but definitely kink, since that's what we're talking about. The more you try to force it, the less likely
less
it is
likely
to happen.
It is.
Because if that's all you're focusing on, then that means you're not focusing on the moment. And I would say that, obviously I can't speak for everybody, but I would imagine that's a fairly universal thing, that in order to feel whatever release you're going for, you have to be able to go with the flow, go with the moment, let go of your conscious thoughts and let everything else take over and just be in that moment. And that mm-hmm. is really hard for a lot of people. Okay. I mean, they call it even now, mindfulness is a practice. I mean, even the people who know how to do it are like, no, it's fucking hard. I got to work on this. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm not good at it. I know I'm not good at it. It's rare for me to be mindful. Mm-hmm. I love it when it happens, but it's... So I'm like mindful and my mind is blank and then I go, wait,
it's hard for anybody.
Where are my thoughts?
It's hard for anybody on a day-to-day basis because we have so many distractions around us.
And here's the thing, in BDSM scenes, for some people, it happens more when they're new to it because all these things are happening to you. And maybe it's the culmination of your fantasies, or maybe it's just you're finally getting to play with this person that you've only been able to talk to online, or it's a long distance relationship. And it's almost, I won't say easier, but
it's an overwhelming of sensations.
Right. And so therefore, just because of all of those factors, that can happen. When I talk to other kinksters who are kind of like us and have sort of been doing kind of the same thing. You have your routine, you know what you're going to do. You have a comfort level with it, and it's not quite as new and exciting. That tends to be less likely. Doesn't mean it's impossible. Just means it's less likely.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it any less satisfying, though.
No.
So it's a different kind of satisfaction. But even more experienced people can go through that, whether it's with a new partner or if we did a completely different type of kinky fuckery. I promise you, the first time we get to go back to the club, and fuck, it's been forever.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a great birthday present in October. I'm just saying, Daddy. that's what I want for my birthday.
Okay.
That might be a moment where, because it'll be...
That'd be like a present to me, too.
I know. Anniversary present. There you go.
Yeah.
That won't be brand new. It won't be a brand new thing. But because it will be just fresh and new enough and exciting right. enough, I might even be able to get to a place where my mind will freaking shut down. Now, if I end up crying at the end of that, great. If I go to subspace, great. I know I'm going to want something to eat when we're done because that's what I like when we're done scening.
Yep.
But I can't go into a scene going, I'm going to have this reaction. And if I don't have this reaction, the whole thing is a failure. Fuck that. Okay. Mm-mm. Did you do something you enjoyed? Did it feel good? Do you want more of it? Are you when I say wiped out, more maybe physically, more mentally, depends on how you played, but do you need a nap? Okay. Like, if everything else felt good, it was a good moment of connection with your partner. Mm-hmm. You did things you enjoy. Maybe you're turned on. Maybe you're just zenned out. Then it was a success. Whether you cry or not, whether you go to subspace or not, whether you whatever or not, it was still a good moment. So we also can't measure the success of something based on, did I get this very finite and specific outcome?
Now, there's something you said that brought something to mind. For me, once I see you start to cry, that's when I stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Once those tears start coming, then okay, job done.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. I stop, and that's immediately when I start aftercare.
Yes. Which in that moment is just hold on to me until I'm done crying.
I hold you until you're done crying.
And then I get all hiccupy.
Yes.
And then I just really want to go to sleep. Yeah. I'm a very malleable, sweet little baby girl at that point. I'm like, Daddy, I love you so
now,
much.
Now, some, when they start crying, want to be pushed right through it.
Some people do. I'm not one of those people.
But you are not one of those people.
No.
For you, once those tears start rolling down the cheek, that's it. Right. Done.
Yeah, and part of it is because in order for me to cry, you had to overwhelm the senses enough, and I'm not personally interested in going beyond that moment.
Right.
Just not. I mean, I have moments in scenes where I have these things of, I would like to know how much I can take. I haven't been brave enough to request that. This is not a request, in case anybody wondered. Not yet. I'm not there yet. But I have had those moments where I think, gosh, I would love to find out how much I can actually take. Not for some emotional reaction, not for tears, but just how hard can you go? How long can we go?
Right.
Before I'm tapping out and I can't, I can't take anymore. But that's a different kind of goal.
True.
And like I said,
and that's how we play in the clubs when we go to the clubs.
And even then, so here's what's funny on that. We don't go to the club for an emotional response. We stop. We very rarely go anyway now that our local club is closed. But we don't go for the purpose of getting me into subspace. We don't go for any of that. We go to have a good fucking time on equipment that we can't get at home in a surrounding where if I'm screaming, nobody's flinching. Okay. that's what we go for. But there are times, and I know.
And on occasion, some observers.
Yeah. And I love that. That's awesome. Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Watch this shit. See, I become performative once there's observers because I'm like, let's see how much I can take. Right. But there have been times in the club where you have stopped before I was ready for you to stop.
Yes.
And who knows what could have come from the end of that if he
well,
was
one,
kept
one
going.
Time, one time in, we'll in particular that I remember more than any, it was a very intense scene. We were really going into it. I mean, I was just going from rubber paddle to wooden paddle to crop.
God,
and,
yeah.
You know, back and forth. And I even pulled out the cane at some point. And you were taking it quite well. And I stopped to ask you for a color. You could not give me a color. You could not speak at all coherently.
No.
And then you had like a... I want to say maybe like an endorphin rush, and you started shaking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. An adrenaline rush. I get those. Yeah, I get all kinds of trembly when that happens.
I
oh,
like,
my gosh.
No, we are stopping. I immediately untied your hands, took you down, and started giving you water.
And so I was having that physical response that I had no control over. I could not have talked if I'd wanted to. Yes, I was shaking from head to toe, but my mind was perfectly clear, and my mind is like, fucking hit me.
Now, on the other side of that, we played one time when I met you in Orlando. We were at a hotel, and I broke your hairbrush.
A hairbrush that's still in my purse, by the way, all these years later.
Over your ass.
Uh-huh.
And you came back and you were like, Daddy, more. I want more herpes.
More.
And we pushed boundaries that night and everything was fine.
So hot. That's so hot. But the whole point, as we've gone off the rails here, is that whatever emotional response or just outcome. So the premise of today's episode is, are those good tears? You know, you're crying because it either feels that good, you're crying because you're overwhelmed, you're crying because you've relieved tension, whatever the reason is. You can't chase that. But you can't chase any outcome to a scene. You should have parameters in place. You should have an idea of what to expect as a submissive. You might not know the order. You might not know exactly which toys are going to be grabbed, but you should know what the options are so you can go, that's a hard limit. No, you're not touching me with that thing. Right? I mean, you have that kind of control, and that you have to consent to those things. But you can say, okay, we're gonna play at this time in this room. I'm gonna wear this thing. You're gonna use these things. Don't call me this. Do call me that. You know, you get to pick all those things.
Right.
What you don't get to determine before you get started is how you're gonna feel at the end. Are you going into subspace? Are you gonna cry? Are you gonna get off? Are you gonna have an orgasm? You can want those things and you can kind of try for them, but you can't guarantee that outcome. You know,
not even try for them. I don't think going into subspace is something you can try for.
No.
It's something you can hope for.
Yes, but I'm speaking in next episode 146 will be all about subspace.
Yeah.
But when I say, quote, try for it, I do not mean, and we will definitely talk about this in more detail next week. What I mean is once you've been to subspace and you know what got you there, you think you know, you can try and recreate it.
True.
But you can't assume that because you're recreating the moment, you're going to get there. There's a real good chance you're not. Because it's not just about what the physical part of what you're doing. It's about what's going on in your head. It's about what's going on with your body. It's about how you feel and what you think. And those things you can't mimic perfectly from scene to scene. You can mimic the steps. You can say, you hit me 3 times with this and you hit me 4 times with that and you did this thing to me and you did that thing to me. All of these things you did to me and I got to this point. The crying, the whatever. Do that again.
Here's a question for you.
Oh, goodness.
You know, we've talked about how you like a therapy spanking. And one of the goals of that is to bring you to tears. And you look for that release. How does... tears from a punishment spanking.
Oh God, I hate those. Because those tears are pain in a not sexy way for me. And or a sense of, I don't want to say shame in that really negative, like really bad way, but sort of the, I wish that hadn't happened.
Shame.
Yes, that. Just walk me through the streets naked. I'd rather... No, I would not rather have that than a punishment spanking. It's a sense of hating that maybe I've disappointed you. Hating that it even happened because if I'm going to get pain, I want it... For me personally, I want it to be the good kind of pain. I don't like the bad kind of pain. That, I can honestly say, there we do have to be careful for that, because there are triggers from my childhood that we have to navigate.
Right.
And sometimes I've cried because I've been reminded of something that maybe I don't want to be thinking about with John Brownstone. and so it's completely a different feeling, because there are so many feelings involved. What I have found, when you've gotten me to cry at the end of whatever, it's a sense of relief. It's release and relief all at the same time.
And in the case of a punishment, that's not the same
there's,
feeling.
There's none at all. I personally do not cry because the punishment is over and I'm so glad to have it. Some people might. Some people might say, okay, I took the punishment and it sucked, but now it's over. I can cry. And by this is like the period at the end of the sentence kind of thing. I've cried it out and we're good and I can walk. And some people do. They're like, okay, I've gone through that whole moment. Had the conversation about what was done wrong, dealt with the consequences and the punishment, cried. Mm-hmm. That whole thing is now packaged up in a nice, neat, with a bow on top. It's done. And I can walk away from that sort of refreshed because I went through that experience. That's not how I see it. If I'm crying, it's because it hurt too bad and I didn't like it, or I don't like how I feel, or I don't like that I got myself in this situation. So there's some feelings of shame, there's feelings of remorse, there's feelings of regret, there's my ass hurts and not in a fun way. And what I want more than anything at that point is comfort. I want to be comforted and I want to be told that I'm good and that I'm not awful and that this is over. Whereas in a therapy spanking, I don't need any of that shit. Just hold on to me. Let me hug you. But it's a total sense of relief. Everything is coming out of me. And I can't even dwell on what I'm thinking.
So two very different critters.
Absolutely.
So even crying with a punishment spanking, there's no release
whatsoever. The release for me is in knowing that once, thankfully, because you do this in what I would consider the correct way, once the punishment is done, it's done.
It's done.
We don't dwell on it. We don't talk about it unless I want to talk about it.
And that's how it should be.
Right. And it is how it should be. But so that's the relief I get is, okay, I made it through that and this shit's done and we can put this behind us.
Let's go.
Yeah. So if I cried through it, I cried because I cried for all kinds of reasons, not because of any sense of relief or release.
Okay.
So
very, very interesting.
I think that's all I can say about that. As always, if you have different perspective or experiences with the good kind of tears or any major emotional release that you have realized that you sometimes experience at the end of whatever kind of scene. We talk a lot about spanking around here, impact play, pain, because that's our jam.
That's our thing.
That's our thing. Yep. But this applies to whatever you enjoy doing with a partner that feels good.
Right.
And so if you have other kinds of emotional responses or you have other experiences of them, or you have somehow found the formula to get yourself to consistently have what you need at the end. I mean, for some people, it's truly just who they are. They have an orgasm and they cry every time. That's just what they do. That's how they respond. So some people might have that. And if you're one of them, we'd love to hear from you, because I've only sort of like read about it. It's a little bit like a unicorn. I've heard of it. I've never seen it. But that doesn't mean it's not possible. So, but yes, everybody will be different about it. I think that it is probably perfectly normal the first time it happens with your dominant partner for your dominant to go, what just happened? Is everything okay? Did I break you? What happened? And if that's the case, when you're done crying and you can breathe again and you're focused again, just talk about it, you know, as with everything, just
talk
about it.
That's the important thing, to talk about it afterwards. I mean, even during the therapy spanking, that's something important. I mean, once you start crying, you know, I stop and I drop everything and hold you. And then later we always talk about what.
Right, exactly. And if you realize or get an idea or an inkling of what might work for you to give you that emotional release, especially if you feel lighter or better or whatever when afterwards, you talk to your partner about that and say, how can we come up with a system so if I think I need this and I might be able to have it, I can get it. And just work through it together.
Like we did, and we've said it numerous times.
And I've gotten better about just coming up to you and going,
my skin is too tight. Yeah, the last couple couple times here in recent past, you've just come up and said, I need a spanking.
Just spank my ass, please. Yep. But the codes worked first.
Right.
Because I wasn't I wasn't comfortable with the fact that that's what I wanted. I wasn't comfortable with even talking about my own anxiety. I wasn't comfortable with anything yet. So we started with a code. And then I got comfortable. And I was like, could you just spank my ass? Just here, I'll wiggle it at you. Could you hit it? Thankfully, you're usually willing.
Wacka, wacka.
Even if you're not able, you're willing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all for that. So you can reach us on FetLife. You can, we have a contact page at lovingbdsm.net. You can touch us there. You can always talk to us through social media. If you DM us on social media, I might ask you to please email us because shit gets lost there. So our contact page on the website is actually the best because it comes straight to our email.
Right.
And we both have access to that email. So both of us see it. But DMs, I know people have DM'd me and I try to keep up with that, but it always gets lost. So, but reach out to us, feel free to talk to us. If you have questions, we try to help. And if you have another perspective, we love to learn about that.
Yes.
So that's it for us.
Please and thank you.
And we have a little short, long, who knows? Who knows? Time traveling. I have no long clue how long the bonus section will be, but we do have a bonus section.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. So are we good?
Vaguely.
As good as we're ever
going to be.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well,
keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Can I talk to the people? You wrote the number down very quickly.
I did.
I know. So for anybody who's been watching us on YouTube, I am going to point out what you've already figured out. Yes, we are twinsies this week with our shirts. It's powered by caffeine and sarcasm, which was a lovely gift from two of our listeners slash friends whom we adore. And when I saw that you had put that shirt on for the camera, I went, yes. Yes, I will wear mine too. And we will just be twinsies and it will be okay.
Okay.
We don't have any mail this week.
No, we don't.
We got mail, but we got sex toy mails. And we got the order I placed a couple weeks ago at the Butters, getthebutters.com. Yes. Use code Kayla, save 5%. But we actually, I bought and paid for this order. This was not a review order. And we have already like rubbed ourselves with the lotion.
Yeah.
And I bought a zit zapper thing that he makes. And I don't know if it's working yet, but it feels it's something I remember to put on my face.
There you go.
Which I'm really bad about.
I got specifically used for my beard.
I know, and it smelled really good. I buried my face in his beard before he trimmed it.
What was it I used? The brown sugar?
Brown sugar, yeah.
And I...
Yeah. We might do a video on the butters because y'all know, and I'll for the crickets, I'll say it. You know we love their lube. His lube. It's Jerome, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a dude that makes this stuff and sells it, and his partner helps him, and maybe makes it with him. I don't quite know, but it's mostly Jerome. But the lube is the best.
Yeah.
Best fucking lube we've ever fucking used in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the skincare products that I have fallen in love with. So I think we might need to do a video about that at one point. Just to sort of show off what
they have coffee scrub too. Coffee and sea salt scrub.
We didn't use ours fast enough. I had to like reconstitute it with a little bit of water. I don't know if that's actually doing anything. Anyway, we didn't get any postcards.
No.
Sad. I love very postcards, sad. But I haven't been promoting the postcards
thing.
No,
you haven't.
As much, partly because I've been really shitty about answering them. I have two that I need to get back to.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
And this weekend we'll be tackling the wallpaper.
I know. We're going to rent a steamer.
Yeah.
We're going to try that.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest part to me, so wallpaper sucks. Anybody who's had to take it down knows that it sucks. Even when you find it, it takes so long to find a good method to take it down. You have to go through the shitty part before it doesn't suck anymore. But even with all that, I'm not dreading the taking down part. I'm dreading the emptying the kitchen part.
Yeah, I know.
That's the part I'm like, fuck, I don't want to do this part. This part sucks.
I mean, what's funny is technically in many ways we are minimalist in a lot of the stuff we have. But just certain spaces seem to.
Well, the kitchen.
And the kitchen is one of them.
So a little bit of pop psychology about me. And I don't know why this is, because never in my life growing up did we ever not have enough food. We always had enough food. I was the person, we had enough food that my father would put the food in front of me and say, you will eat every bite of this. And I was going, yeah, can I have seconds before it even finished first plate? Like, we had food. And yet, my sense of security is tied up in, do I feel like we have enough food? Is there enough that we, if somebody is hungry for something, that they can have it? And not necessarily for a specific item. So it's not like I'm like, oh, we have to have enough chips to feed a freaking army. No. It's just, we have to have some things and plenty of it. Like, I love shopping at Sam's Club. If you don't have a Sam's Club, Costco would be, it's a wholesale club place. So you buy in bulk. We do not buy 15 pairs of socks at a time. No. Like the joke goes, but I do buy about 30 rolls of toilet paper at a time. Because I like just buying it once and not thinking about it again for a few months.
Yes.
And we buy we're gonna get away from this because this is not environmentally friendly, but we buy like 300 paper plates at a time.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that anymore. So there's a sense of security to me in having a well-stocked fridge, a well-stocked freezer, a well-stocked pantry. And I will say that might not be from childhood. That might be from the early years of my marriage when we didn't always have that. We lived on, quite frankly, cheap hot dogs, ramen, and hamburger helper. To this day, you cannot pay me to eat hamburger helper or ramen noodles because there was a time when I had to feed two adults on about $30 a week. And that's how the fuck we ate. So that maybe that's an adult thing, but there's absolutely a sense of security. He gets cranky at me. He's like, we have plenty of food. I can fit something else in this freezer. Please just let me buy it. Please just let me buy plenty of it. We're almost out. Kayla, we have two servings left. Two meals. I know. And then we won't have any more. Please just let me buy it. So the kitchen is back to the brim.
Yes.
We really do probably need to go through the cabinets and get rid of stuff we're not using. Not food-wise, because I will go through the cabinets, and if there's a food we're still eating, it'll go to a food pantry or whatever. When we went low-carb, me keto, anything that wasn't opened, we got lucky that our post office was doing the food drive that they do periodically. Yes. So we could leave all of that out there for our mail carrier to pick up. But anything that was open, sadly, I had to find a way to get rid of it. Right. But I will absolutely donate food. But in the kitchen, like the gadgets, we have a very small kitchen. We have almost no cabinet space. And we have so many kitchen gadgets.
Well, we have, our condo is 900 square feet total. Total living space.
Our British friends, I know you're probably doing the conversion in your head of what we mean by that, but they would probably appreciate that more than American listeners because, even my mom was like, how are you living in 900 square feet with four people?
Right.
And a dog. We're making it. Yeah. But we're about to move out of that shit because we can't make it anymore.
Right.
So now, we've got to deal with the kitchen.
That's the big thing. I'm looking forward to doing the videos.
We have several videos. Yeah. We'll give y'all a little sneak peek because you're the crickets and we love you. We have a kink crate box. We haven't even opened it yet. So when we open
it. We don't even know what's in it.
To do the unboxing video, the reaction you see will be the reaction because we'll be like, oh, my God. I don't even remember what the theme was that for August. No. It's the August box. We have three sex toys for penises that we're going to do separate reviews. I'll write some sexy stories or whatever, but we're going to do one big video review to talk about them. Mm-hmm. We have a kinky fuckery thing. We have a pillory set.
Yes.
Hand fucking crafted
pillory
wood and metal and legit.
Oh yeah, the real
stocks.
Deal.
Stocks and floggers and paddles.
Oh my.
Oh my fucking God. We're going to play with it one more time
to
make sure that first time wasn't a fluke. And then we're going to do a video on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking amazing. But we got to make the fucking videos.
Yes.
That's our goal in the next week and a half to make all these videos.
Yep.
I'm so excited and stressed out about it. So the kitchen, the kinky fuckery, the videos. That's about it. And lots of coffee.
Yeah.
So somebody has decided that on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m., that's when we have to go pick up the wallpaper steamer.
I didn't decide that. That's when they open and that's when we can get it.
So they decided.
Yeah.
You took offense to that. All I said was someone.
The way you said it, your head was looking this way.
Because I always look to you for guidance, Daddy.
The nice thing is neither one of us have ever used a wallpaper steamer before. So it kind of works in our favor because if we get it Saturday morning. We have it for the whole weekend for the cost of one day.
Right. But my point where I was going with this.
Yeah.
Damn wallpaper steamer. I know. Fucking kitchen. I have negotiated that after 7 fucking a.m. on a Saturday, I go get a steamer and then get a coffee. So at about 7:15, 7:30, I will have a coffee in my hand. I will be chugging on. While I then, like, work the steamer, be coffee in one hand and the steamer in the other, it'll be fine. It'll be great.
Okay.
So that's us for right now. That's what we're doing.
There it
and
is.
Yes, we did tease next week's episode. Episode 146 will absolutely be about subspace. And I have to say, it's really nice to know a week in advance what the hell we're talking about next week.
Right? Amazing. All right.
So that's it.
Let's wrap this up and let these good people go about their...
I've got stuff I got to go do that I don't really want to do. You can see because I'm dragging this
procrastinating,
out.
Procrastinating, but nope. Time to shag a leg, baby girl.
Can I do something else with a leg? Do I have to shag it?
Let's say goodbye.
Love you guys.
Love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything.
Appreciate each and every one of you.
Yes, and we'll see you next week. Bye.